Okay, the boys say today's daf is daf Kuf Zayin. We're holding Kuf Zayin Omer Aleph, the top line. Where the Gemara begins, Omer Rav Yehuda Omer Rav. Lo'olam al yovi odom atzmoy lidei nisoyim. We're continuing to talk about David HaMelech. As you recall, we spoke yesterday about Achitofel, spoke about Doeg, who were enemies of David HaMelech. Now we're continuing to talk about David HaMelech. And the Gemara tells us that David HaMelech, we'll start again. Al yovi odom atzmoy lidei nisoyim, a person should not go and bring upon himself a nisoyim. Kadosh Baruch Hu, of course, gives us all tests in life, all different types of nisyonos. However, a person shouldn't go and bring it upon himself. Shari David Melech Yisrael, hevi atzmo lidei nisoyim. David HaMelech, in fact, did that. V'nichshel, and unfortunately, he stumbled. Amar lefanav Ribono Shel Olam, David HaMelech said to Kadosh Baruch Hu, v'pnei ma oimrim elokei Avram, elokei Yitzchak, v'elokei Yaakov, v'ein oimrim elokei David. We say, of course, in Shemoneh Esrei, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, the God of Avram Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu, and Yaakov Avinu. David Melech Yisrael was, of course, the first Melech. Why isn't he also mentioned in that series? Let it say, L'kei Avram, L'kei Yitzchak, L'kei Yaakov, V'l'kei David. Omar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Inu Menasuli, all those others were tested. And Baruch Hashem, they all passed the test. Avraham Avinu, of course, famous for the 10 nisyonos, and certainly the nisoyon of Akedas Yitzchak. Yitzchak had the nisoyon of Akedas Yitzchak. Yaakov had the nisyonos, having to deal with Esav, having to do with Lavan, having to do with the whole parish of Yosef. And each one of them remained loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, you, at David HaMelech, loimintzisli, you were never tested by me, and so therefore, I don't think that you are the role model that we can go and throw into Shemoneh Esrei together with the other sektorishim. Omer lefanav Ribono Shel Olam. So David HaMelech said, no problem. Bechaneini v'naseini. Bechaneini is from a lashon of bechina, test me, v'naseini, and test me. In other words, try it out. Shenema, like Ataka says in the pasuk, bechaneini Hashem v'naseini. David HaMelech said, Ribono Shel Olam, please, give me a nisoyin. Omer, the Kadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, if you're asking for it, Minzen Aloch, I'm going to go and give you a nisoyin. Moreover, Vavin the Milze Bahadoch to the two Uloi Hoidatinu. I'm going to do a special favor for you, if you will, because the others, I didn't tell them specifically, I'm giving you now a nisoyin. V'ilu ano, komodin aloch, the Minzna Loch Bidvar Erva. I'm telling you right now that you're going to have an Nisoyin, and the Nisoyin is going to be involving Erois. And therefore, let's see, David HaMelech, if you'll be able to rise to the occasion. Miyad, from that point on, David HaMelech took upon himself, Vahila Iso Erev, Vayokim David Mi Al Mishkovai. It was in the evening, and David HaMelech is already getting up out of bed. This, of course, is contrary to the way normally we do things. Normally when we go to bed, we go to sleep at night, we get up in the morning. Not that you go to sleep during the day and you get up in the evening. And so therefore, the Gemara wants to know what's going on. Behila Isa Erev, it's now evening time, night time, and David Melech is getting up. He should be going to sleep. So Omer of Yehuda, Shehofach Mishkovei Shel Laila L'Mishkovei Shel Yoyim. David HaMelech was hoping with this to be able to win, to be successful on the test. How to be successful on the test? They figured this way, if he's going to have the Mishkov in the morning as opposed to at night, in other words, if he has Bia or Tashmish first thing in the morning, so then after that he was already Yoitze, so to speak, and now he won't have to go and have any more Nisoyan, any more Taiva throughout the day, because of the fact that he has now already satisfied himself, finished. And therefore, it'll be much, much easier having to withstand any nisoy. However, the Gemara says that it's alma mimenu halacha. By doing that, he forgot a very basic halacha. What's the basic halacha? We don't mean halacha, daf kiv zayin amar alef. Kiv zayin. We don't mean halacha like you find in Shulchan Aruch. We mean a very basic premise of human life. and that is Eiver Katan Yesh Ba'odem Masbiyoi Ro'ev Umar Ivoi Seveya. Normally, if you go, and for instance, if you're hungry and you fill up your stomach, okay, so Baruch Hashem, once you're satisfied, you're no longer hungry. Here it's the other way around. When it comes to Maisabiyah, there Eiver Katan down below Masbiyoi, the more that you satiate it, the more that it's hungry for more and more. So the fact that David HaMelech would go and have Tashmish in the morning, so that after that he would be Yoitza, and he wouldn't have to be worried about any further Taiva for Tashmish. It's the other way around, by starting off the day, so to speak, with being Mimali, that Taiva, you just bring more Taiva upon yourself. And therefore that was not successful. Rather, tells the Gemara, V'yishalich al gag beis HaMelech, David HaMelech was now walking on top of the roof, the Vayar Isher Echetzes Mi'al HaGag, and he saw a woman that was taking she was shampooing her hair, as we'll see in the next line, Echetz Mi'al HaGag, either on the same Gag or another roof next door, for Isher Trivis Marim Mo'id, and she was a pretty lady, Basheva Haven, this is the famous Basheva. And what was she doing? She was Kochai Fereisha, like we were saying a moment ago, she was shampooing her hair. To say chaltza, underneath, Rashi says a chaltza is a kaveris. A kaveris is normally translated as a beehive. That's a kaveris dvoirim. But of course here it doesn't mean that she's taking a shower or washing her hair under a beehive. It means some other type of enclosure. In fact, there's another girsan said a chaltza underneath a chuppah. In other words, a canopy. Okay, as a result, she was totally covered from all sides. Asa Sutton idmile betifrisa. The Sutton came and he disguised himself as if he was a bird. Since he was a bird, David HaMelech decided that he wanted to go and catch that bird. If you remember, we had this earlier on also, that David HaMelech used to like to hunt from time to time. So he went and shot an arrow, and posik bei gira, and as a result, the poska lechaltza, he shot an arrow, and that destroyed, or at least it broke the chaltza, this enclosure in which she was standing at the time that she was washing her hair. And as a result, iglaya, and now, unfortunately for David HaMelech, and unfortunately for Basheva, she now became exposed. The chazia, and he saw her, and as a result, the Yetzihara is very, very intense, not only by us regulars, but even by David HaMelech. And as you know, the Gemara says elsewhere, Kol HaGodl Mechavera Yitzroi Godl Himenu. So, David HaMelech, HaTzchichat HaGreisi Yetzihara, Miyad V'yishlach David V'yidrash Le'isha, he sent a messenger to find out about this woman, V'yoymer HaLizois Basheva Bas Eliam, that lady that was washing her hair is none other than Basheva, the daughter of Eliam. And if you recall from earlier Gemaras, an einikol of Achitofel, you'll also recall the same Gemara said in those days, people could go and men could have a child already at the young age of 8 years old. Anyway, so Basheva was an einikol, and she was Eishes Uriachiti. V'yishlach David Malachim v'yikachea. David HaMelech sent Malachim to go and take her, Vatovi Elov, and he lived with her, Vayishkav Ima, Vahi Miskadesh is Mitumasa. One good new part of this whole story is that the reason why she was washing her hair was because she was preparing herself to go to the mikveh. And when you go to the mikveh, of course, one has to make sure that there's no chatzitza anywhere. So the women are very, very careful about every strand of hair being totally pure and being totally clean. So that's the reason why she was washing her hair. And before the shluchim were able to go and take her to David HaMelech, she had already toivled, so she was no longer a nida. So in terms of that, we didn't have a michshol, we didn't have a problem. But Tosha will base, and then she returned to her home. You're all, of course, familiar with the Gemara in Erchin, where the Gemara says that David HaMelech did not sin in this case. In other words, it's not a question of his living with an Eishes Ish. What's the reason why? Because we quoted that she was the wife of Uriachiti. Uriachiti was then on the battlefront, and the minig was in those days, so the women shouldn't become igunas, that the husbands gave gittin when they went out to war before they left to the battlefield. There's a machloikis between the Rishonim, what type of get are we talking about? Are we talking about a conditional get, or we're talking about an unconditional get? If you're talking about an unconditional get, then there's certainly no problem. She was a grusha already at this time. Presumably, if this maisa had not occurred, then when her husband would return, and assuming that he was not a kohen, then she would have gone and remarried him, because after all, she got a get, but any goresh and grusha allowed to remarry, not a problem. And assuming that you say that it was a conditional get, the condition was only based on whether the husband would come back from the battlefield or not. If he came back alive, then the get would not be a get. If he did not, the get would be a get. And we know that Uriachiti eventually passed away in the battle. And therefore, as a result, Lemafreya, she was already get. And that's why the Gemara elsewhere says that David Melech was not chote. So our Gemara focuses on, you don't have to worry about the Isser Nida. And another Gemara, which our Gemara doesn't go into, says he wasn't even over an Eishes Ish. But nevertheless, obviously the whole thing shows that David HaMelech, as great as he was, it was a mistake on his part to go and ask for Nisoyon. That's why we're mispal in our Tfilis in the morning, Al Tzivyeinu Lidei Nisoyon. And by his saying, B'chaneini Hashem V'raseini, unfortunately he tripped and stumbled in this whole story. Now, it's not that I'm saying that, the Gemara says that. V'ayinu Tzachsiv, that's why it says in the Pasuk, B'chan Talibi, you gave me B'china to test me out. Bekar to Laila, and this Bechina was related to night, meaning to Inyone Laila, that's the Erva, that's the Mishkav that we spoke about. And Tzraftani Baltimtza, unfortunately you did not find me to be Tzoruf. Tzoruf would mean to be totally clean and pure. Like you say, Kesef Tzoruf means refined silver. You did not find me to be refined, Kodesh Baruch Hu, because unfortunately I stumbled. Zamoisi Bal Yavor Pi. What does the word Zamoisi mean? Omer said, David HaMelech, Ikuz Mama Nafel Bepume. Halavai, I would have had a Zamoisi. Zamoisi from Meloshin Zmama. Zmama means a muzzle that it was put into my mouth. Taman Desanili. The Loshin of the Gemara is euphemistic, and it's saying, Halavai, they would have put a Zmama in the mouth of the person that hates me, meaning me, myself. He didn't want to speak about himself, like the Gemara said yesterday. Person doesn't want to be toile kilosoi ba'atzmai, rather he's toile kilosoi ba'chaveri, someone else. Therefore, says the Gemara, David HaMelech went and was in anguish, he was upset about his own lot. He said, Iku zmoma v'nofel pepume demand the sanili, v'loi omar ki hamilza. Halavai, halavai, someone would have put a zmoma, meaning a muzzle, into the mouth of the one that hates me. In other words, into my own mouth. Omer ki amilza said, I would not have said to Rabbi Nishlalim, yes, go ahead, b'choneini v'naseini, because, says David HaMelech, that was not a happy situation for me.
What was David doing? Is he doing an arrow at a bird?
Why do you...
The hunting is very, you know...
You might kill somebody who's sitting below.
Yeah, bald. Tsar Balei Chaim, or yes. Hunting is a very goyish thing. I never thought that Jews undertaking
those. When Esau would kill birds, he'd kill it in a way where it would exactly kasher the shechita with the, you know, famous Gemar Chulin, right? But what's he doing? I mean, there's also a danger. The arrow could hit somebody down below in the city.
Apparently, he was an excellent archer. As you see, it hit its mark. It hit its target. Just that the target wasn't really a bird, it was the sultan that was dressed as a bird, and it instead hit that cone-like shape, this chalza, and that's why the whole thing fell to pieces.
But what about asking God to be included with the others? Doesn't that reek of arrogance?
What you're saying is correct. That was bothering me too. As you know, whenever you get to Agadat Gemaras, especially Agadat Gemaras of this nature, you have to understand that there's much deeper messages which are there between the lines that if you look in Sfarim like the Maharal, they all tell you about the much deeper messages that you can discern from these Gemaras. And maybe what it's trying to tell you is a Musar Haskel, even if you happen to be in a position of authority like the Melech, where the Melech is Poretz Geder Ve'ein Mochen B'Yadoi, he basically has total full authority to do anything and everything he wants. However, be careful not to allow that to make you arrogant, because if you feel somewhat pompous and great about your position, that can lead to a terrible michshol, to your terrible downfall. So presumably that's the reason why the Gemara is telling us this as an important lesson in life. No matter how great you are and great you think you are, there's still the supreme authority over your head, and therefore don't try to test yourself out, and don't try to make yourself too pompous, because chas v'shalom can lead to your downfall. But continuing Nochemul about this tzipor business, Dorish Rava Maidach Siv, why did it say in the Pasuk, Lam Natzeach L'dovit B'Hashem Chosisi, Eich Toimer L'Nafshi, Nudi Harchem Tzipor? What is the essence, what is this Pasuk trying to tell us? Omer Dovah V'Nekodesh Baruch Hu, Rabbeinu Shloim, M'choy Li Al Oisei Oveg, please forgive me for the sin, for the error that I just made, that we just discussed. You know why? Not so much because of me that I want to have a kapara. Of course you want a kapara. But besides that, Shul Yoimru, people shouldn't say, Har Shebechem Tzipor Nododosai. You know what it's going to be? It's going to be a terrible, terrible Chil Hashem, that people are going to say, Har Shebechem, your mountain. Your mountain over here means like your Migdal Or, your what you are looking up to as your master. In other words, your king. Har Shebechem is like a term, a synonymous with king. Tzipor Nododosai, as a result of a tzipor, as a simple little bird, that caused him to go astray and to be repelled and to wander away. Of course, it wasn't the bird, it was really the satan that idmi like kitzifer, so like the Gemara said before. But nevertheless, the story in the Times and in the Post and all the other papers is going to be, David HaMelech was thwarted by a little bird of a 2 ounces or something. So he said, there's going to be a tremendous Chil Hashem. Therefore, that was the Lashon of Nudi Harchem Tzipor. Ich Toimer L'Nafshi. People are going to go and say about the Melech that he was thwarted by a little Feigele. So, Kodesh Baruch Hu, be moichel me on this sin. Dorish Rava. Now we're going to have a series of drushes of Rava here and later on. Might have said what it says in the Pasuk, L'chol levadcha chatosi v'ra b'einecha osisi v'matitztach b'davrecha tizki b'shoftecha. Om dovel nekodesh baruch hu, galia v'yidia kamach di'ibayi l'mechbayi li'yitzri havikaifina. So now, David is saying something fascinating, especially in the face of what we just learned. Says David HaMelech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you and I both know that I could have been koifu mayetzahara, and I could have come out victorious in this struggle with the Yetzirah. You know why, unfortunately, I sinned? I didn't want that the paper should afterwards report, the people should afterwards say, that Eved, meaning David HaMelech, he was victorious over his master, over his king. Meaning, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I didn't include you because I never gave you an Esayon, and now the result is going to be that David HaMelech bested, so to speak, in Kodesh Baruch Hu, and he was Oymed bin Hisayin. And therefore people might, if you will, denigrate or demean the covet of Kodesh Baruch Hu. You see, David HaMelech, a boss of Adam, was able to be victorious in this, if you will, this game of sorts. Of course, again, this is a difficult Gemara, because are you telling us that David HaMelech sinned in this whole Maisa of Basheva just to be able to go and teach a lesson that people shouldn't make a Chil Hashem? These are all difficult concepts, and they're dealt with in the Svarim like the Maharal, that tries to give us a better understanding of these esoteric Gemaras. But anytime you come to an Agadic to Gemara, especially of this type, you always have to realize that there are deeper messages beyond the surface which we will not necessarily comprehend or appreciate. Dorish Rava, Nochad Rosh Hashanah Rava. Ma'idach Siv, it says in the Pasuk, Kani Letzelen Nochayin, Omachuyvi Negdi Somit. What does this mean? Says the Gemara, Ru'uya Hois Basheva Bas Eliam L'David, Misheshis Yimei Breshis. This, that Basheva was eventually going to marry David, this had already been prepared, predetermined already at the time of Bereshis. But unfortunately, it had to come with a great degree of pain and anguish. Anyway, so in other words, just like we know that before a person is born, the Gemara tells us, here the Gemara is telling us that Bathsheba was destined to go and eventually marry David HaMelech, which of course she did ultimately. This was already predetermined not 40 days before and not 40 years before, but already at the time of Sheshes and Bereshis. But unfortunately, because of that whole situation, where David HaMelech said, B'chaneini v'naseini, unfortunately he came with machayv. Machayv is from the Lashon ko'ev, with pain. V'chein ton Rebbe Shmuel, ru'u yehois le'David Bathsheba bas Eliam, that it was roy for him to marry her, ela she'ochla paga, but he ate the word paga means an unripened fig. It was a little bit too early. In other words, David HaMelech should have waited until Uriah Hiti, in fact, was killed, if he would have been killed, and then he should have married her, but not under these types of circumstances. So this is also what the Pasuk is telling us, that we did this a little bit prematurely. What's the Lashon Elisha Ochla Paga that you're talking about eating unripened figs? It sounds like a strange metaphor. So I think it's a Teres Chaim that says the reason why the Gemara uses this metaphor, because the Gemara from time to time brings that there was one of the varieties, one of the minim of Te'enim was Benois Sheva. And this Benois Sheva, the Gemara tells us various halachas involving Benois Sheva. The Gemara assumes that it was an inferior min of the Te'enim. But the point of all of this is that the reason why we have the comparison to eating a faga is because the name Bathsheba is the singular of Benois Sheva. That being the case, yes, he was right to go and marry and take from this Bathsheba among the Benois Sheva, but he took it a little bit prematurely. That's why the Gemara used the expression She'ochla faga. Dorosh Rav, another drash of Rava, what does this mean? What David HaMelech is saying is, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, as a result of this occurrence, all of my enemies are now rejoicing, and unfortunately it's gotten to the point where I have no blood left. Meaning, were you to go and tear open my arteries and my veins, you'd see that there's no blood flowing. That's how embarrassed I am from this whole situation. So the Gemara is saying, Uvitzali Samchuminasafu. The word tzali could also be interpreted to be the tzela. That's the tzela that we spoke about in the previous pasuk about Bathsheba. And remembering, of course, that the Chava was created from the tzela of Adam Arishan, or that was the first mating in the world, first marriage, if you will. So with Sali, this sin that I did with Bathsheba involving the tzela, Samchum and Esafu, then all of those that gathered were happy and they were snickering and happy at my error. Nesu alai nechem. Rashi says that the word nechem means bali mumen, like you find by Par Nechoy, that he was lame, he was a hinkadiker. So therefore he was a Balmum. And therefore these Balimumen, they're laughing and smiling at me, because I'm now also, to a certain extent, a Balmum. V'lo yodoti, and there's nothing I can go and do about all of this. V'koru v'lo yodamu, they're tearing me apart, and there's no dam left. So that's what David HaMelech is saying. Sorry, if they would go and do surgery and cut open my basar, they would see that the blood would not be pouring out or would not be running. The reason is, like the Gemara is going to say in a moment, because a person with malben penei chaver berabim in the chedek loylam haba. So this is a metaphor when he's saying that there's no blood left, because they were malgam penei chaver berabam, I'm now totally pale-faced, all of my blood flowed out of my arteries and veins, and there's nothing left. I'll tell you even more than that. It wasn't just Nesvu Olaneichem and Samcha, and they were having a Simcha, and they were happy. When they were learning earlier on, back in the beginning of our Masechta, about the various Arba Mises Bezdin, if I were passing by, they would stop learning in the middle of their learning, and they would call out to me, "Hey, David! Habal Eishes Ish, Misasai Bima." A person who lives with an Eishes Ish, what is the Misa for living with an Eishes Ish? Amar Telehem, so I told them, Habal Eishes Ish, Misasai Bechenek. Of course, talking about a Nesua. And I know everybody around the table is now thinking, well, that's only Babas Yisrael. What would be by Bas Koyin? And it's a three-way Machloikis. And are we talking about a Nesua? Are we talking about an Arusa? But for our purposes, the simple answer is a person who lives with a Nesua, Misasai Bechenek. You see, I told you everybody would quickly take that. Anyway, but he gets a chelik l'mava, he gets taka the misa b'chenek, and that atones for the sin to a certain extent, and he's stuck with, he has baruch Hashem a chelik. Like you, chevra, that you're trying to embarrass me and make me pale-faced to the point where there's no blood left anymore in me, so you can see that David HaMelech was not happy about the fallout of that whole situation.
Pale face,
that's what we're saying.
Yeah.
Okay, so everybody agrees pale face and turning white is the same.
Yeah. Is that a red Indian or something?
There is an expression when you're learning about cowboys and Indians, but I'm not sure that that's appropriate here. Anyway,
Redskins,
yeah. Okay.
That's why they changed the name.
Yeah, they changed it. Okay, Baruch Hashem. Good. We should never have any worse problems.
But you don't say chairman anymore. You say chairperson.
That used to be. Now, as a result of Trump's executive order, now it's go back to chairman. Anyway, let's continue back. Om Rav Yehuda Om Rav. Afilu b'shas cholia shel David kiem shmoina esrei av oinois. We're saying with David HaMelech, he apparently got sick from this whole situation, but nevertheless, he kept his marital obligations. Shneimer says in the pasuk, "Yegati banchosi aschem cholayla mitosi mitemosi arsi amse." What is this all referring to? David Melech, as we know, was married to 18 wives. That was the maximum. Kahena v'kahena. We had this beginning of the Masechta talking about how many wives a king could have, and David Melech had 18. And therefore, he had to mekayim the din of oina for each one. Says Yimor, he was, even though he was sickly, and if not sick with a capital S from this whole incident, nevertheless, an obligation is obligation, and therefore he fulfilled his marital obligations. Shenema yegati vanchasi, nebuch, I was oskemat, and I was weak and tired and weary, vanchasi, my sighing about that whole affair that took place. Asam cholayla mitosi, every single night my bed was drenched. B'demasi arsi amse, I caused with my demois, with my tears, I caused my bed to be all wet. Nevertheless, I did my obligations because I was mechuyev the an oina. From the Yuna Marav. Yeah, everything okay? Yes, that's correct. But we don't talk about these nowadays because, as you know, in Chodesh Nisan, we don't talk about Tachna. The Amr of Yiram Arab, Bikish David La Avoid Azara. Chmon el Son, it's hard to even fathom that there is such a Gemara, but that's what the Gemara says, that David HaMelech wanted to go and be Oivet Avoid Azara. Shanim, but he David Bo Ad Haroish, Ashishtach Vesham Lelechim, or maybe it's Lele him. So David HaMelech came to the Roish. Says him, what does that mean? Vayi David ba ad haroish, vayi roish al avoid azarish. And then it says in the pasuk, vahu tzalma reishi di dehav tov. It's talking about the tzalim, I believe it's the tzalim of Lucha Netzar, or otherwise a tzalim, which is an idol. Reishi, its head was di dehav tov, was made out of beautiful or good gold. So you see, reishi is referring to the roish of the avoid azar. Vayine lekrosoi chushio arki. Chushio arki came by and met him, and it was going in, I guess, in different directions, and Chushio Arki met him, Karua Kutantoi Vadoma Aroishai, with his ksoinis, that means his clothing was ripped, and Adom HaRoshe with earth on his head. Omalu LeDavid, Yoimru Melashe Kamoyscha Yabar Avodazara. How can you go and do something like that? People are going to say, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim, he did Avodazara. Omaloi Melech Shekamoysi Yargeni Benoi. Do you think it's right that a melech like me, his son should go and kill him? The son that we're referring to, of course, is Avshalom. And we know that Avshalom had a major rebellion against David HaMelech, against his own father. And therefore he said, I would rather be sin with doing Avodah Zarah, and therefore justify my son killing me, rather than there should be this Chil Hashem. What would be the Chil Hashem? Chil Hashem would be that David HaMelech was the great Melech, didn't do anything wrong except for this Bathsheba story, and even on that thing, Gemara says that whoever says David Chata Ein Elatoya, and now if my own son Avshalom is going to go and kill me, people are going to say, where's the Rabbeinu Shlomo? Where's Ein Din V'Ein Dayan? How could this be that a son should go and kill a father? We don't mean any son, that Avshalom should go and kill his father, David HaMelech. It's rather, I prefer that I should err even with doing Avodah Zarah. So then people will say, oh, now we know why Kadosh Baruch Hu allowed the son to kill the father, because the father was being over Avodah Zarah. Omar Sahushi Arki now told him, my time conceives Yifastoya. Why did you go marry Yifastoya? So what are we talking about Yifastoya? So Rashi fills us in that Avshalom's mother was Ma'acha, and Ma'acha was the daughter of Talmai Melech Gishur. And therefore, she was, in fact, a goita. Why did David go and marry her? Says Rashi, Tafsa David bil Mulchama, that he went and took her like the din of Yifastoyar. And as a result of marrying the Yifastoyar, he, unfortunately, had the son, Avshalom, as the Gemara will explain. Omale, so now David HaMelech says to Hushi Arki, why are you complaining that I married Yifastoyar? Yifastoyar, Rachman Ashari. The Torah says that it's mutter, and I was just going and following the leniencies of Halacha. Omalesi told him, Loi Darshis Smuchen. You forgot to go and be Darshin Smuchen in Sefer Dvarim. The Samachle, it says, right after the parasha of Yifastoyar, it says, Kieli Ish Ben Tzairim Moira. And therefore, Darshan Chazal Kananoisi Yifastoyar, Yehelo Ben Tzairim Moira. If you're going to go marry Yifastoyar, even if you do it correctly and halachically, accurately and all that, but nevertheless, you may have a Ben Tzairim Moira, and that's what you had. You married Macha, and you had the biggest Ben Tzairim Moira that you can possibly imagine, of Shalom. So that was the discussion here between these Achushi Arki and David HaMelech. Dorishab Destoy Deminbiri, Lamad David Doime. What is David HaMelech? How could you can compare him? You can compare him a Soicher Kusi. To Soicher Kusi. And what does that mean, a Soicher Kusi? So Rashi says, on the left-hand margin, about halfway down, Soicher Kusi, Darkoi Lefanis Eschirose Ma'at Ma'at L'Hamida Al-Domim Mu'atim. What the Sochrim Kusim used to do is to be able to incentivize customers to go and buy a lot of schoira, they would put out schoira little by little. They wouldn't go and put out all of their wares, all of their merchandise, little by little, and they would go and sell it at decent prices, dama mu'atim, so that the person says, hey, that was a good, you know, nice purchase. I got a nice discount. That's good. I came to this kusi, as opposed to going to the major store where it might have cost me another 20%. Oh, I did well. And then after that, the kusi says, oh, by the way, I have some other schar I'd like to show you. And he puts it out on the table. Hey, this is nice stuff too. And again, it gives him a decent price. And then he does it a third time and a fourth time. And the reason why the kusi does this, to be able to incentivize his customers to buy a lot of schar. If he would put all the schar out at one time, the person would say, okay, I got this, shengenuk, let me go home. But each time when he sees that he got a good deal, oh, you have another good deal, let me see. And then he puts out more and more and more, and each time the person buys more and more. So why are we saying that? Because as we'll see now, David HaMelech wanted kapar from the Rabbeinu Shlalem, and he also did it little by little in steps. It's Amad David Vnei Kodesh Baruch Rabbeinu Shlalem. Shigiyos Miyavin. You know, I did a lot of shogigin in this world, a lot of mistakes, a lot of accidents. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please go and give me a kapara. Amalei shviki lach. What we would say in our terms, we would say mukhalach, yamach. Uministaris nakeni. Boyishlam, there are things which are beyond my, I didn't even realize that I sinned. They're nister, they're seiser. You know, I didn't even realize that I did something wrong. Shviki lach, mukhalach. Kamizeidim chashoich avdecha. Please, now that we've gone from the cases of shoigig and oinis, things that I didn't even know, please now be moichel me on Zaydin. There's some background noise, so kindly, whoever, please put yourselves on mute. Please go, and the Zaydim over here means mezidim, those things that I did be mezid. Please also excuse me. Shvikilach, mochalach, al yim shulavi, oz esam. I ask Kodesh Baruch Hu, please, to levishtoi beirabonan, that in the Bat Midrashim, I shouldn't be the focus of attention that people are talking about me. Shvikilach, mochalach. V'ni kesi mipesherov, shal yichtoiv sirchoini. Do me, Kodesh Baruch Hu, a big, big favor. And v'ni kesi, go and white out, blot out my terrible sin. Shal yichtoiv sirchoini, that this should not be recorded for posterity. In other words, that there shouldn't be any record of it. Omalei, on this last one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Efshar. This one, I cannot go and grant your request. So you see why the Gemara compared him to Seichel Kusi. David HaMelech didn't put out all of his sins at one time and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, be moichel on everything. Only be moichel on this, and on this, and on that, and on that, and on this. The final one, he was not able to get a mechila. Why not? So the Gemara brings that famous Chazal. The yud that I took away from Sarai when I changed her name Sarai to Sarah, that yud was complaining for many years that you took me away, Kodesh Baruch Hu, from Sarai Imenu. And Ad Shabo Yeshua Vesaftilai, and therefore I took Yeshua, whose real name was Hoshea Ben Nun, and I added the yud at the beginning of Hoshea, and I made it into Yeshua. Shenema, v'yikra Moshe Hoshea Ben Nun Yeshua. So therefore, just removing, omitting one letter in the Torah, you see how much fuss this made that I had to go and return it and added it. I don't know where all this noise comes from, but there's noise in the back. Maybe the noise is coming from a Bivon Shul, I don't know, because the other three are on mute. So maybe the apparatus, the phone apparatus. Anyway, bottom line is, so you see that Yud was, I had to go and restore it back to the Torah. So Kola Parsha Kula, if you're talking about this entire Parsha of David HaMelech and Basheva, which apparently had already been written, so to speak, by Kodesh Baruch Hu, Allah is Kam V'Kama, I cannot possibly go and delete this or push the delete button to take it out of Tanakh. V'ni kesim besherov, om lefana rabbi nishlam, mechoyli al uisi oven kuloi. Can you do me a favor, Kodesh Baruch Hu? Okay, I'm stuck that it's going to be written down. Can you at least be moichel me on the entire oven? Omar kvar osed shloime bincha loima bechachmosoi hayechate ish eish bechekoi uvegodov loisis rafena. David HaMelech, not David HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech already wrote in his Chochma in Mishlei, he said the following poetic sentence, is it possible that there's an Eish that comes Bechekoi, that comes onto a person, even if the person is saved from the fire, but at least his Begodim will be singed or burned to a certain extent. If a person is going to walk on top of hot coals, won't his feet get burned? It's impossible to go and wipe clean the entire slate from this maisa that occurred. Does that mean that forever and ever I'm going to have to suffer the pain of this terrible nisoyin where I was nichshol? If you really want to be able to go and have a full kapara, take upon yourself Yisurim. So Kibul Olav, so David HaMelech said, fine, I accept upon myself Yisurim, so that should be a fine, final and full atonement for my sin. You know how, what the type of Yisurim he had? Shisha Chadoshim, for 6 months, It's Dorea David. David HaMelech became a Metzoyra. V'nistalki men Shechina. And as a result, the Shechina left him. As well as Upirishmi men Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin left him. How do I know that David HaMelech became a Metzoyra? It's Dorea Dixiv. Techateini be'ezoy ve'toer. Techapseini u'mishalig albin. The fact that the Pasuk says Techateini be'ezoyv. Let me be Meschati. Meschati over here means to remove the sin by using Ezoiv. As we know, every single Metzoyra, after the Koyin says about him, okay, the Nirpa Negatzeruah min Hatzeruah, that Baruch Hashem, he has been cleansed from his Tzeras, what does he have to do? So among other things, he has to go and take the Shtei Tziporim, the Erez, Shni Tzeras, the Ezoiv. Oh, so Ezoiv is a necessary ingredient for purposes of being retired oneself from tzaras. Ah, so that's what the Pasuk is saying. Says David HaMelech, Techateini be'ezev etar. Kadosh Baruch Hu, let me go and take the ezoiv and have tahara from this tzaras. Techapseini, so I should be able to cleanse myself, go to the mikveh, u'mishalik albin, and therefore I will be able to go and become as white as snow. As you know, it says elsewhere in the Pasuk, that if chas v'shalom, a person's sins have caused him to have, he and his begodim are all soiled and they're all red, then we say that, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu should go and change the red to white, to like snow white, showing that Hashem has given us a kapara and a slicha on our aveiros. Yes, Ari.
So if according to the Mandamar that he didn't sin, why is he going through all these sufferings? Don't they say someone doesn't suffer unless they sin?
What you're saying is very, very good. Well, apparently what the Gemara is telling us is that in the legal sense he didn't sin, but someone on the Madrega of David HaMelech, it's still considered to be soiling his neshama. The Gemara elsewhere says about, for instance, the Dor HaMidbar. Dor HaMidbar to us, how could he have sinned? How could it be? And the Meforshim say it doesn't, that for us, we cannot understand the lofty heights that Klal Yisrael were on when they received the Torah on Har Sinai, and therefore any little sin that for us, if we would sin, it would be considered to be nothing. But for them, on their Madrega, these were all considered to be sins. So we will never understand exactly how David HaMelech fell through on this terrible Nisoyim, but obviously it's teaching us great lessons that nobody is immune from the Yetzirah, not even someone of the heights of David HaMelech, and therefore we have to be very careful. And for him, even though technically it wasn't a sin because either there was an unconditional get or there was a conditional get, and the Mafreya or Yechiti had given her a get because he had passed away, and subsequently the Mafreya, but nevertheless the whole thing is for a person on David HaMelech's level, it is considered to be a sin, and therefore, to remove that sin, he had to have the experience of these yisurim.
Doesn't pass the smell test.
Oh, exactly.
like the milk this morning for the coffee.
Yeah, okay. Sorry about that, gentlemen. Anyway, the Stalke men Shechina, and the Shechina also left, like we said, Dechsev Hashivali Sison Yeshecha, Veruach Nadiva Sismachain. So, Kodesh Baruch Hu, return to me the Shechina, Sison Yishecha, your Yeshua's, the Ruach of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, please return it to me, because the Shechina had left him. O Baruch Shem Yimenu Sanhedrin, Dechsev Yeshiva Li Yireyecha, Yoidei Eidoisecha. Return to me your Yireyim, those that know the Eidois, who are the people that know the Eidois? That's referring to the Sanhedrin, who are the ones that put together all of the Eidois and Chukim, and therefore please return them to me. Now we said that he experienced these Yisurim for 6 months. Shish chadosh minolat. How do I know 6 months? Achziv ayom Hashem Malach David al Yisrael arboim shana. This is one pasuk in Malachim that says David HaMelech was king for 40 years altogether. How do you get to 40 years? Bechevroin Malach sheva shanim, 7 years in Chevroin. Yerushalayim Malach shloishim v'sholei shanim, and in Yerushalayim 33. So if you add 7 to 33, you get 40. This is all part of the pasuk. However, that pasuk that we just quoted was in Malachim. But in Shmuel Beis, it says, "Uksiv bechevroin molach al Yehuda sheva shana v'shisha chadoshim," 7.5 years What happened to Vanishish Chadoshim Lekachoshiv? What happened in the first Pasuk when we said that he was king for 40 years, 7 plus 33? It should be 7.5 plus 33. How do you get to only 7? Shema Minot Nitzarei is the Chasimin that for 6 months he was out of commission, so to speak, that he was a Metzayra. At that time he was not king. I don't know, maybe formally he was king, but bottom line is he could not do anything from the palace like a Metzayra. You're Nishtaleh Chutz L'Sholish Machanois. So it's a raya that this period of time was a 6 month period. Please, give me full mechila. Mukhalach. Aseimi oisle toiv of the year of sign of the Evoisha Kiato Hashem Azartoni Venichamtoni. Kodesh Baruch Hu, I ask you, make an ois that all of my sonim will now be embarrassed because I'll see Kiato Hashem Azartoni, that Kodesh Baruch Hu now assisted you, Venicham Tani, and has had a nechama, if you will, from Kodesh Baruch Hu's being upset at David HaMelech. And so therefore, I ask you, Kodesh Baruch Hu, says David HaMelech to HaKodesh Baruch Hu, please, go and show me a sign so that all of my enemies who until now were pulling me apart, and unfortunately I lost all of my blood because of being totally pale-faced and all white, etc., etc., go and show a toiva and oisle toiva that Baruch Hashem you amoichel me. So Kodesh Baruch Hu said, "Amalei b'chayecha eini moidia." As long as you're alive, I'm not going to do that ois. Avale midia ani moidia b'chayi Shloim bincha. When Shloim Melech will be king after your passing, those post mortem after David Melech passes away, time to Shloim, I will show everyone that you are back in affection and beloved to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. B'shor shabanu Shloim as beis hamikdash when Shloim Melech was building the base of Mikdish, Beikesh Lahachnas Oren LeBeis Kodesh Kodeshim. He wanted to go and bring the Oren into the Kodesh Kodeshim. Tovku Sheorim Zebezeh. So the gates did not allow him to bring the Oren in. I don't think he means the gates at the opening of Kodesh Kodeshim, because after all, there are no gates there. Depending on the period, whether it was the first base of Mikdish or the second base of Mikdish, there was
curtain or wall in the first base of
Mikdish. Exactly. There was a wall in the second one, there was an Amitraxon, which were curtains. Yeah. Anyway, but there was no sha'arim, so to speak. But it could be these are the sha'arim that led into the Beis HaMikdash. So there were 7 or 13 sha'arim. We had back in Masechtas Midos and Tamid. So Machloik is exactly how many sha'arim there were. Anyway, so the Shlomo HaMelech was trying to bring the Oren in, and the sha'arim would not budge. Omar, I'm sorry?
The sha'arim of the Heichel?
I don't think the Heichel so much. There were sha'arim all around the Beis HaMikdash, as well as on the Harabayas. I mentioned we get to Kodshim, we'll learn it in Nochemul, in beginning of Masechtas Tomid, and beginning of Masechtas Midois. In fact, there is a machloikis there between the two Mishnayis, exactly how many Sha'arim there were. But, so now Shlomo Melech is trying to bring the Oren in, but he cannot. So he said, Omar Esav Arba Rinanas. Esav Arba Rinanas means 24 different types of tefillah. Rashi says, Tfila, Tchina, Rina, all different types of Kapitlach of Tilim and other Tfilas that he said before the Rabbi Yishlam, 24 different Lashoinis, Filei Nena, Kodesh Baruch Hu did not listen, and the Sha'arim remained stuck. Omar, so he said now from the famous Kapitla that we say, Su Sha'arim Sheikhim, Inasa Pischayolim, Yama Melech HaKava, Yimizah Melech HaKava, Hashem, Isus V'Gibra Hashem, Gibra Melchama, let a Kodesh Baruch Hu Kavi Yachal come in. After all, the Oroin and the Luchais Ho'edis were given to us by the Rabbi Mishlelem. So that's a symbol of the Shechina itself. Nu, let the Shechina in. V'nemar, Anoch Shteitach Maite, Suru Shem Rishaychem, Usu Pischayolam, V'yom Melech HaKovayin, Miyuz Melech HaKovayin, etc., etc. V'leinena, unfortunately, these tefillahs also were not answered. Kimin Sh'omar, but then he said, Hashem Alekim, Al Toshe Penei Mishichecha, Zochra Lechaste, Dovid Avdecha, don't forget about Dovid HaMelech, and all the good things that he did. Miyad, and then Kodesh Baruch Hu pushed the button, and all of a sudden, the Sha'arim became like automatic opening doors, and they opened without any difficulty. Voice of Shaw, when that happened, Nebchu Penei Soini David Kishulei Kedera. Well, the Penim means the faces of the son of David HaMelech, they changed colors like the black that you have on the bottom of the pots. The Yodu, Kol Yisrael, Shemochale Kodesh Baruch Hu Oisa Ovein. And then Kol Yisrael had that Ois Letoiva that he, David HaMelech, had asked for, right? He said, "Kadosh Baruch Hu, I say imi ois l'toyva v'yirasayin v'yavoyishu." Didn't happen in David HaMelech's lifetime, but it happened after he passed away in the times of Shloima HaMelech. Okay, now that we've discussed at some length about Doiger Adoimi, about Achitofel, about David, now we get to Gehazi. Remember from the Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet, we also talked about Bilam at great length. So now we're down to Gehazi, and as you'll see on the bottom of the Omid, we will finally conclude the 17 blot of lengthy Agadata that we've been learning throughout from the beginning of the Perek until this point. So Zokti Marietz. Om Rabbi Yochanan. Oh, I probably skipped a few words over here. Gehazi, okay. Gehazi, yes, yes. Okay, gentlemen, thank you. Gehazi, the second wide line, fifth word into the line. Gehazi d'chziv. How do we know that Gehazi was expelled and he will not be zoiche to have a chelik li'olam haba? Zokti Gemara, Gehazi d'chziv, said the pasuk, Yedech Elisha Damesek. Elisha went to Damesek. Lehecha ozo. Via the Gigangan. Why did he go to Damascus? What is that all about? Omer Yechanan. Shalach lahachzer Gehazi b'tshuva. He wanted to go and bring Gehazi back to become a Baal Tshuva after the whole sin with the Masa of Naaman, v'leichozer, and he did not return. Now, what was the story of Gehazi and Naaman? We've already learned this a couple of times. Besides in the Tanakh Shir, we've learned it here in our Perek. But just Bikitsur Nimratz, Naaman was a star general, I think of Aram, and unfortunately he got tzaras, and he went to all the king's horses and all the king's men, and nobody was able to put him back together again. They were not able to take away the tzaras. So, as we'll see more shortly, there was a Jewish girl who had been taken into captivity, what we call today hostages. See, Ein Kol Chodesh Tachas HaShomesh, that Yidden have been taken hostage. This is already from the beginning of time. So the Jewish girl said, "I have an eitzah for you. Why don't you go to Elisha? Elisha is a Navi, what we would call a Wunderabina, and he'll take good care of you and remove the tzaras." So that's what Naaman did. He went to Elisha. Elisha said, "What you have to do is go toivel here in the Yarden River." And when he told him that, Naaman was furious, and Naaman said, "Are you nuts? I already toiveled in much bigger rivers, such as the Euphrates and the Tigris, and that didn't help. And your little canal here that you call the Yarden, that is gunish mit gunish. How is that going to do it?" And his assistants and his yoyatsim said, "You know, you're here already. You already spent the time and the effort and the plane fare to get here. Why don't you try it out? What can harm? So that's what he did. He went into the river, he toiled 7 times, he comes out, and miraculously the tzaras left him. He went back to Elisha and said, "Elisha, I want to pay you for this tremendous service that you gave me." And Elisha refused to take anything, and he said, "Sayonara." And he left. And then shortly thereafter, Gehazi, who was the right-hand man, so to speak, of Elisha, ran after Naaman and said, "Naaman, Elisha changed his mind. He doesn't mind taking after all. Please give me some wonderful stuff." And we'll discuss that in greater length. Of course, this was not true. Elisha had not sent Gehazi to go and collect from Elisha, and Elisha was very angry at Gehazi, and he wanted to try to be machzer him b'tshuva. So Zokti Marietz. And he refused. I learned from you years ago now that he was choyte. We know from the story that we just recited, but where do we see that it was machti asarabim? So Gemara my ovad, and the Gemara gives 3 answers. Ikriyami, answer number 1 is Evan Shei Eves Tola Lechatas Yerovam, the Hamida Bein Shemaim La'aretz, that as many of the kings, as we know throughout Tanakh, many of them unfortunately erred and sinned because of the 2 Agolim of Yerovam that Yerovam Ben Nevat had put up. And says the Gemara that he, Gehazi, had an Evan She'evis. We would call that a magnet. But this obviously was not a small little magnet that you put in your pocket. This must have been a huge magnet, because with the powers of that magnet, he was able to be toiler to suspend the Egel or the Agolim of Yeravam in mid-air. The Hamidah Ben Shemayim La'aretz. Can you imagine what a strong magnet that was? Not exactly sure how the magnet worked, but it worked in such a way. I guess the idol that had been, these two Agolim must have been made out of metal, at least to a certain extent, and then they attached themselves to the metal anyway, and they were suspended in mid-air, and people was, wow, isn't that unbelievable? And therefore they believed that these Agolim must be real gods, otherwise how could they be flying and suspended in mid-air? The Ikari Amri, others say no, shame chokek mafia, v'hoyse machrezes v'hoymeres anoich v'layilecha. Somehow or other, Gehazi was able to implant in the mouth of these two Avodah Zarahs and these Agolim, almost like today we would say a small little tape recorder, and throughout the day he would keep on saying, Anoich v'layilecha. As we know, Kodesh Baruch Hu, of the Aseres HaDibris, the first two, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, B'kvoda u'ba'atzmai Anoich v'layilecha. By the fact that this Egel was now being machrez Anoich v'layilecha, it sounded like, oh, maybe there's some real God inside this Egel. So that was Machti. The Ikad Yamri, the third one, was Rabbanan Docha Mikameh, that he, Gehazi, threw out all the rabbis, he expelled all of them. How do I know? Shema v'yimru b'nei ha-neviyim. B'nei ha-neviyim, that's the Rabbanan that we're referring to. El Elisha, they said to Elisha, hinenu amokam asher nachna yoyishim sham lefanecha, tzar mimenu. You should know now that as a result of Gehazi, the place that we were sitting until now has become very tzar. Tzar means it's become very, very tight. It's a siman that until now it was not tight. There was plenty of room for everybody. But Gehazi, through his actions, caused many of the Talmidim to leave because they had no room to sit there among the others. Tanaban, Oilam Te Smoil Doichav Yimin Mekarevas, which should always be in a situation where the Smoil is Doicha and the Yimin is Mekarev. What does that mean? Even if someone has sinned and therefore you have to go and push them away, don't push them away so badly that they will not return to the fold and that they will be totally OTD off the derech. Yes, bidoicha them with smile with your left hand and makarv them with your right hand. And the Gemara gives a number of examples. Not like Elisha that pushed away Gehazi with both hands. Gehazi dechziv, it says in the Pasuk, vayoyim naaman hoyil, v'kach kikroyim, v'yivretz boy, v'yotzar kikroyim kosef. What is this all about? This is Gehazi urging upon Naaman that he should go and give him the kesef as well as the begodim. And eventually he listened and he gave it to him. Now the Gemara brings part of the Pasuk, it says that hoyil no. Do we have those words already? Hoyil no. Okay, if you shpeter. V'yoymel elov, yeah, we said it here, nochomo. V'yoymel naaman hoyil. Doesn't say no. Zion, maybe it's missing the word, no. Bikro kach. Okay, well anyway, the point is, not hoyil vikach, no, hoyil kach. No, I understand. Instead of hoyil vikach, it's hoyil kach. So what is the word hoyil? So hoyil normally you would say means kind of help yourself. Rashi says hoyil comes from a lashon Allah that he should make a shvua. Why do you want him to make a shvua? Because Naaman smelled a rat. He said, I don't believe you, Gehazi, that Elisha changed his mind. I think that you're taking this for yourself. So the word hoyil is to go and make a shvua. And he made a shvua, but obviously he made a false shvua. What happens to a person who makes a false shvua? He gets punished. And so our Gemara is going to tell us now, hoyil kach kikroim, hoyil make your shvua, and then you'll be able to go and take the kroim of kesef, that's a two kikr kesef, v'yifrotz boy, so he nudged him, and v'yotza kikroim kosef, and he gave him the kroim kesef, together with begodim. V'yoyim elav Elisha, me'ayin Gehazi. So now, this was the story that Gehazi had with Naaman. Now, Gehazi comes apparently to Damascus, and Elisha meets him there, and he says, me'ayin Gehazi, where did you just come from? V'yoyim lehalech avtecha anavanim, nowhere in particular, you know, it was a walking around here and there, but you know, nothing special. V'yoyim elav loy, libi halach kesher hafach ish, me'al merkavtoi. Don't go and tell me any baloney. I know what happened. What you did over here, you think that I turned around, you turned around, we don't see each other. Esther, I'm the Navi. I know what happened. I have Ruach HaKodesh. I know what you did. You took from Naaman, apparently, 8 different categories of things over here. Begodim, and Zaysim, and Krabim, and Tzoyin, and Uvokim, and Avodim, and Shvachis. Frank Timor, Mishokal Kuli Hai? Did he really take all of these different things? It's not true. He only took Kesim, and Begodim, who the Shokal. Why did the Elisha enumerate 8 things, right? He said Kesef and Begodim is 2, Zaysim, and Krabim is 4, Tzoyin, Uvokar is 6, Avodim, and Shvachis is 8. It's Omer of Yitzchak, Ba'oise Shoah, Elisha, Yoisha, Vedoyish, Vishmoinish, Rotzim. At that time, Elisha was, you know, the Nevi'im schools, they didn't just teach Nevi'ahs. They taught Gemara, Gemara, Rashi, and Tosis, and Mefarshim. So they were learning Shmoyne Shratzim, which, as you know, is a perek in Masechta Shabbos. And that's what all the Talmidim were learning, including Gehazi, who was a Talmud there in the Yeshiva. And it says, Naaman Tzar Tzva Melech Aram Hoy. Oh, that's a Nushtikim. So what Elisha was saying is, because of the fact that you sinned so terribly, number one, with taking from Naaman and tricking him as if it was for me, and number two, that you made a false shvua, you know what we're going to do? We're going to give you now all of your schar bo'ilam hazeh, of what you learned now, the Shmoyne Shratzim. So even though he only received the Kesem Begodim, he refers to these 8 different rewards to say that in the schus of the 8 Shratzim that we just learned now, that perek, instead of getting schar le'osid lavoi, you're not going to get a portion in the Olam Haba. Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving you all your rewards on this world. And this is kesef. And the begotten that you took, that represents the reward for the Shmoyne Shratzim, and that's why he gave the example of the 8 different categories. Says Gemara, Naaman Tzar Tzva Melech Aram Hoya, so now we're going a little bit back into the history over here. Naaman was the Tzar Tzva of Aram, and Mitzayra, he was a Mitzayra. Omrelei hahi Rabisa, Rabisa is a young girl, Ishtaboy, that was taken hostage, Me'ari Yisrael, sounds familiar, she was taken to captivity. I'azlis, she therefore gave the following advice. I'azlis, Gabi Elisha, Masi Loch, if you go to Elisha, you'll have a refuah. Ki also, when he came to Elisha, Omrelei zil tvoyim b'tayk b'yarden, just go and immerse yourself in the Yarden, and that'll take care of it. And Naaman was furious. Omalei, achuchim kama chayches bi? Are you Jews making fun of me? Amri lei, so they said, so then his mashorsim, his advisor said, Hanoi, tahav bade, those assistants that were together with him, my nafkalamina, what difference does it make if they are laughing, they're not laughing, you're snickering, nish snickering, you're here already. Zil, nasi, try it out. You never know. See what you can do. Ozal, v'tovu b'yardena. So, he listened to them. He told them the yarden. V'itzi, miracle of miracles. He got a refuah. Also, Ayisilei kol hani denokit. He went over to Elisha now and he gave him everything that he brought along with him in terms of kesef and begodim. He wanted to pay Elisha for this wonderful etza that he saved him and cured him from his tzaras. Like some of the kubuli minei. However, Elisha refused and said, Shkoyach, thank you very much, and Lehitra Ot, and he didn't take anything. Gehazi, if to become Elisha, so Gehazi took leave of being in front of Elisha, Ozel Shokal made the Shokal, and the Ifkit. So what he did was, he Shnell went over to Naaman and said, no, Elisha changed his mind, and Naaman made him make a Shvuah, he made a full Shvuah, and he took all those things, the Ifkit, and he put it like away, like a Lashon Pikodo, and he put it aside. Ki Osa, Chazi Elisha litzaras to have a porcha ilavei reshe. When Elisha met him in Damascus to be machzer him b'tshuva, not only did he know Baruch HaKodesh about everything that had transpired, he also saw on his forehead that the tzaras was already spreading. Omale, in other words, the tzaras of Naaman was now spreading to Gehazi. Omale, so Elisha said to Gehazi, Rasha, now is the time that you're going to get the reward for learning Shmoyne Shratzim with us, like we said earlier. So the tzaras of Naaman should now attach itself to you and to your children, and this should remain in your mishpacha. And he left in front of him, he left him as a mitzayr. And then we have the famous pasuk, which I believe is the first pasuk in the Haftorah for Parshas Mitzayr. Parboa anoshim hoyi mitzayroim, Pesach HaShoah, there were four people standing there, Pesach HaShoah, there were mitzayroim. Who were the four? Amr Yochanan, Gechisi, Ushleib, Shoishim Banav. So we see that the curse of Elisha unfortunately materialized, not only in Gechazi, but also Tidbrak Becho Ubezarecha. Tanya, we learned in the Brice, Omer B'Shimon Aluza, Yetzer, meaning Yetzahara, Tinik, the Isha, Teismol Doicha, V'Yemin Mekarebis.
We have the censored Gemara in our copy of our Yeshua Ben Prachia here.
Okay, so I thank you for bringing that up. I don't have that in my Gemara, but you're 100% right that many of the new Gemaras they did bring in by Yeshua Ben Prachia, many of the commentators say that that's a reference to Yeshu, that Yeshu, the reason why we had the whole Christian religion and Christianity and Rome and the Crusades and the pogroms from the Christians, all is because in the times of Chazal, the Rebbe of Yeshu, unfortunately, was Doicha B'Yamin. If he had been Doicha B'Smoil and been Mekara B'Yamin, then history would have been totally different from that point until today. So you're right, that was taken out by the censors because of the references to Yeshu, etc.
This Yeshu, Rabbi Shimon Prachia, lived in the time of Hashmonaim and Yanai Malka. So I think it's the Ramban in the Vikuach with Pablo Christiani. He actually points this out. He says, the person you worship, we believe, lived centuries earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's the same Yeshu or not, or if the Yeshu is of the first century of the Common Era, is a fictional figure, and it's based on this Yeshu, that is something beyond my understanding. But Yeshua Ben Prachia was clearly much earlier, because he's the time of 150, 200 years earlier than the Common Era.
I understand. I don't know if you knew or heard of Dr. Manfred Lehman's Chayim Levracha.
I used to write for the Allgemeiner Journal.
Right, exactly. Among many other talents that he had. So I knew him personally, and he once time told me, I think he said that he did research on this and found out that historically there are 12 or 13 different accounts of who Yeshu was, and according to some of the accounts, he's a fictional figure and never existed, but this is just something that they did to be able to criticize and attack the Jews. In fact, there was no person called Yeshu, but this was an idea that was propagated by his Gospels, by his Talmidim, and there was no Rebbe to teach the Talmidim, but this is just, the whole thing is a fraud. Anyway,
it's born baloney.
Yeah, exactly. Certainly he was never born, you know, from the Virgin Mary, that whole thing is okay.
So I get it to fly again, right?
Exactly. But regardless, that's the censors took it out. It's not a Mike Morris, I can't even say the words, but for those that are interested, please get more up-to-date Gemaras. Tanya, Amr B'Shimon Alasa, Yetzitinik V'Ishu Teismol, Doichem Yimin Mekarebis. Which is, of course, a very, very important thing, Adayoy Mazeh. In many of the old-time yeshivas, when you had a child that was acting up, it was very easy for a Rebbe to give a patch. In fact, in many families, it was very easy for a father to go and give a patch. Nowadays, the psychologists, the psychiatrists, the psychoanalysts, and all of those people yet that know these things very well, they said that that's not the way to treat kids with manazeh, because unfortunately, if you give them too many patch, you're going to be doicha b'yamin. What you have to do is, you doicha b'smoil, but you have to makarev b'yamin. So I'm told that even in certain chassidish yeshivas, where previously the rebbeim were very much in favor of chasoich shiftoi soine v'noi, that the best type of the way to getting the kids in line were to go and give pech, that now the pech that they give is pech of ahava, that they go and show a huge amount of TLC to all the kinderlach to make sure that they don't chas v'sholem go off the derech. So that's a very important lesson. It's time to Rav Shimon Elazar, if you have criticism, you have critique, and you have a condemnation, All of that has to be done b'smoil, but yamin mekarevis, at the same time, you have to mekarev yamin. I read about one of the rebbes, I think it was the Hodestipler Rebbe, Milwaukee. He writes about his father, who was a rebbe previous to him, that one time he, the younger child at the time, once played a game of chess on Shabbos. And after that, his father found out about it, or maybe the father knew Baruch HaKadosh, and the father called his son in and said to him, Yankala, Yingala, or whatever it was, what were you doing now? Tati was playing chess. On Shabbos you're playing chess? On Shabbos? Sorry? It was Rosh Hashanah. Oh, I'm corrected, my good friend Chesky, who's here together with me, said it didn't take place in Shabbos, it took place in Rosh Hashanah. So in Rosh Hashanah, that's the day you go and play chess. Rosh Hashanah, you should be learning Svarim, you should be learning Musar, you should be learning Chassidus, you should be doing Tshuva. This is not a time to go and play chess. And he got quite angry at him. Anyway, after the son was, you know, felt kind of bloodied by his father, he's ready to leave the room, the father calls him over and says, Yankel, by the way, who won the game? Did you win the game, or the other person who was playing against you? So then he smiled and he said, I won the game, Tati. So he smiled back. So what was the moral of the story? The moral of the story is, yes, he was doyche b'smoil, but yimin mekarevis. I still love you. Don't think, you know, chas v'shalom, you're expelled forever and ever. I want to know who won the game. So that was the symbol of yimin mekarevis. So that's what his son writes in one of his books. He writes about this, how my father was small, he was Makayim the Yemin Mekarevis, and that I felt good, even though I felt bad, but at the same time he made me feel good. Tanaban, Gimach Aloyim Cholya Elisha, so three times Elisha Hanavi was sick. Where were the three times? Number one, Echad Shigir Dumbat B'Tinoikais. Our Gemara doesn't go into that, but you know, elsewhere it says first in Tanakh and Gemara that talks about the fact that he, Elisha, came to a town, and it was like in the times of the Torah, that the waters of that town were Morim Haim, and he made, with the Bracha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he changed the water from bitter to sweet. As a result, there were some Shkotzim there in town who made their Parnasa based on importing water from other places. They would bring in Polish spring water and Hungarian spring water, all different waters, and they charged money, of course, and they made a nice fortune on it. And now, as a result, nobody was interested in importing the waters, and they just drank from the, you know, they opened up the tap water, and the tap water was all gishmak. So therefore, a whole bunch of shkutzim started cursing Elisha. And Elisha got upset, and then the Kodesh Baruch Hu sent down dubim, bears, and all those bears attacked the tenoikis, and the tenoikis doesn't mean babies, it means ishkutzim, and killed them all. And then the Gemara says, previously there were no dubim, there was no forest, this was all miraculous. And the Gemara uses the expression that you just heard from Barry, le dubim v'lo yar, that there were no, previously no bears, and there was no forest, this was all miraculous. And that's why that's become a Yiddish expression, when you want to say that the whole story never happened, like you were saying before, nishke shtoigen, nishke floigen, they also say le dubim v'lo yar, the whole thing is baloney. Anyway, one was Echad Shigira Dum B'Tinoikos. After that Masa, he got sick. The Echad Shetoch V'Legechel Yibishtei Yadayim. The story that we just had now, he was not Yemin Mekareves, he was Doicha B'Shtei Yadayim. And the Echad Shemeisboi, and eventually he had a third sickness from which he died. He doesn't say the reason why or when or what the circumstances were, but the third time he got sick, unfortunately he passed away. Shenemar. Felisha Cholesa Cholyoi, he was Cholyoi the Cholyoi, and then the Pasuk continues on, Asher Meisbai, or some similar words, Asher Yomisbai. So why does the Pasuk say Choly Asher Yomisbai? Because the previous two Cholys were not Asher Yomisbai, it was only the third Choly, Asher Yomisbai. And the Gemara continues, Ad Avraham Lo Hayah Zikna. Until the times of Avraham Avinu, people did not get, they got old in the sense of that they aged. However, you could not discern that on a person's face. The person did not get wrinkles. He didn't have to go and put on creams to take care of the wrinkles, but rather they remained young and fresh until the person passed away. Whoever saw Avram was sure it's Yitzchak. Whoever saw Yitzchak thought it was Avram. Because we know from the Pasuk that Yitzchak had the same facial expressions as Avram Avinu, and if Avram didn't get old, then they looked exactly the same. Well, Avram Rachmi, so Avram asked, in other words, Mispal to Kadosh Baruch Hu, to Heavenly Zikna, that there should be a, that person should age over time. Shnem it's in the post, Avram Zokin Bo Bayomim. Oh, the Itaki became Zokin as time went on. Ad Yaakov they have a chusha. Until Yaakov, you know, there was no such thing that a person became sick. When the time came to die, unfortunately, Kadosh Baruch Hu cut his life off, and that was it, and the person died. But there was no such thing as getting sick prior to passing away. His boy Rachmi, so he was mispal of a chulsha, and there was chulsha, and then the person became sick. Shenemar, v'yem liyoysev hinei avicha choyle. Hinei, oh, behold, means behold. Avicha choyle, this day, hinei. First time in history you ever recorded that a person became sick. Till that time, no sickness. What was the benefit of getting sick? The benefit of getting sick is that a person should be able to go and prepare chas v'sholem for the ultimate. And if he's deathly ill, he'll know to quickly write out a will and to go and give leave a legacy for his children, etc., etc. Anyway, so there was no such thing that a person got sick and then he got a refuah. If you got sick, that was it. And that's why, by what we said before, that Yaakov was mispal, that a person should become sick. He became sick, and eventually he passed away from that sickness. And during the time of the sickness, he was able to go and instruct his wife and his kids about his estate, and what they should do, and what they shouldn't do, and if he owed money, and if he had investments, and what have you. So that was a tremendous benefit that a person got sick. But until Elisha's time, there was no such thing as getting sick and then getting refuah. He got sick, and then either a day or a week or a month later, and it was all over. He was mispal v'itpach, that in fact, people should get sick. People that do get sick should be healthy again. Is the charai, like the Gemara said before, that there were earlier sicknesses that that he didn't get sick. So this is, Elisha was the one that, so to speak, started that a person gets sick, and then that's why eventually they have the chas v'shalom, the last sickness from which when a person passes away. We'll stop over here and Mitzvah continue tomorrow morning. Same time, Mitzvah.